This is the Christmas Eve, and I prepared two Christmas messages, one for tonight and one upcoming Sunday, part one and part two, if you would join on Sunday. It'll be wonderful. The title for today's messages, if you could just look at the title, "For Nothing Will Be Impossible with God." 오늘 하나님의 말씀의 제목은 하나님께는 능하지 못하심이 없느니라. There's nothing will be impossible with God. When you consider the story of Christmas, of God actually coming into history, and the story of virgin birth, it sounds so mythical. It sounds like myth. It sounds like a fable, and it sounds so fictional, doesn't it? But do you realize the story of Christmas, the Christian story of Christmas, is fixed firmly in history as a factual, historical thing? And today, I want us to consider, as this message of Christmas was first announced to Mary. Mary was a young lady, probably around the age of 12 to 14. I don't know whether you ever heard of that. Okay, I'll be explaining. Can you imagine someone who's about 12 to 14 and she experienced the Christmas message? We want to just kind of consider what it was like for her to hear the message of Christmas. Actually, the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, will be birthed through her. Do you realize she's the first one who literally had Christ in me? Okay, Christ in me. And the story of Mary is really the story of all those who experienced the birth of the Savior in their lives, which means you and I. How can it be? And the title of the message is, "For Nothing Will Be Impossible with God." The story goes, it is prophesied in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet who prophesied 700 years before Messiah came into history. And the book of Isaiah is a vision of hope for sinners through the coming of Messiah. The word Messiah and Christ is synonymous. Messiah is a Hebrew word, and Christ is the Greek word. Literally means the same thing, which means anointed or king. King of Israel. Messiah or Christ, literally the same thing. And the book of Isaiah is a vision of hope for sinners, in other words, the whole world, through the coming of Messiah Christ, promising the ransomed people of God a new world where sin and sorrow will be forever forgotten. It is through the coming of Messiah. Okay? Now, here's one thing I want you to know about Messiah. Messiah of Christianity had to be a man and had to be divine at the same time. Messiah, according to what is promised in the scripture, he had to be a man and he had to be a divine God at the same time. Okay? The reason he had to be a man was because he had to be the fulfillment of Davidic covenant, the line of David. He had to be born through the line of David. So he had to be a man. And according to the scripture, he had to be divine because his kingdom had to be eternal. His kingdom has to reign forever, and no one can do that. No human king can do that. So he had to be human, and he had to be divine. Okay? So it is prophesied in chapter 7, verse 14 of Isaiah, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son." In other words, he's going to be a man, okay? He will be birthed. "Shall call him Emmanuel," God with us. couple chapters later in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for to us a child is born. Again, a man, right? To us a son is given. And the government or dominion shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, okay? Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So he had to be divine. It is prophesied. He had to be a man, and he had to be God, okay? And of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end. It's, in other words, his kingdom will be eternal. And the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. In other words, the promised Messiah had to be a man and had to be God. Okay? That's Christian story. And that's the story of Christmas. However, 700 years later, the story of Christmas or the birth, it is firmly fixed in history, okay? With an actual places and real people. We will be talking about it on Sunday. It was during the reign of Caesar Augustus, Octavian. Is that name familiar? Octavian is the nephew of the famous Julius Caesar, who was murdered by Brutus and other people, the enemies. Basically, Octavian has risen to the power by defeating Brutus and Cleopatra in Alexandria, and he became the Caesar Augustus. The word Augustus means holy and revere. It's pretty amazing. During the reign of Caesar Augustus, the real Lord Curious, and the real King of Kings was birthed by his reign. Okay, it was during the reign of Herod the Great, who was a real actual figure in the city of Bethlehem, just as it was prophesied again about six to 700 years ago, before the Christ's coming by the prophet Micah. It is firmly fixed in history. It is not a fairy tale. It is not a myth. It is not a fictional thing. Literally, his birth divides human history before Christ and Ad Domini, which means the year of the Lord. Okay, so just want to begin with that. And the background of today's text, it is the first time this announcement or the annunciation of coming of Christ or Christmas was announced to this young lady named, probably a teenager, 12 to 14 years old. Can you picture that? I try to picture someone from our congregation who's 12 to 14. Glory, grace, this young girl. And that was Mary. Okay? So we want to actually look at this text today. And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And the virgin betrothed, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. If you notice, the virgin is emphasized. Christianity claims that Jesus came into this world through a virgin. How is that possible? That sounds so mystical, fairy tale. But that's exactly what was promised, and that's exactly what happened. In fact, the amazing story is, if you're a Christian, that's exactly what happened to you, Christ in me. Okay? She was the first one who literally had Christ in me. Can you picture that? How many of you were pregnant before you gave a birth? And while you were having that baby, going through the gestation, did you feel the life inside of you? I'm sure you did, right? I'm sure you did. Can you imagine Mary feeling Christ inside of her? Literally, physically. Okay? So it was the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Lazarus. Let me just tell you a couple things about Mary. Okay? She was from the town of Lazarus. Lazarus is none place. It is like middle of nowhere. In fact, it wasn't the Jerusalem. It wasn't the palace. It wasn't the temple. It bypassed everything, and God came into this world in the town of Lazarus, which is middle of nowhere. This is someplace toward going to Tyre and Sidon, which is the current Syria and Asia Minor. So it was a very corrupt city. Very, very small town ran by Gentiles and Roman soldiers. So do you remember the story when Philip met Jesus? He came to his friend Nathanael, probably a very scholarly person, and told him, you know, I met the Messiah, and he's from Lazarus. Do you remember his response? His response was, what good thing can come out of Lazarus? What good thing could come out of Lazarus? So she is middle of nowhere. And according to the teaching of the ancient fathers, Mary, according to their culture, was probably age of 12 to 14. Middle of nowhere, never learned, illiterate, from a poor peasant family. Isn't that interesting? Why not a royal family? Why not a priestly family? But it was a very, very humble family. But that's the story of Christianity. That's how Christ actually came into history. Okay? So a couple of things we could know about the story of Christmas story, whether it is the incarnation, salvation, resurrection, Christmas is for those who are humble. Otherwise, you won't be able to hear this message. Really is the case for those who realize we need Christ desperately, right? Who realize we cannot and we will never make it without him. That's Christianity. Mary's story is really the picture, and I want to call it prototype of those who experience the birth of a Savior in their lives. And that's what it means to be a Christian. If you are a Christian, Christ lives in you. Literally, Christ in me. And I think about, this experience of Mary, this young girl for 9 months, right? Probably 9 months. She literally had Christ in her. She probably felt him. She probably heard him. She experienced him. She was literally the first person who had Christ in me. And let's watch in this first annunciation or announcement of this Christmas story and how she responded and she was able to carry out this Christmas birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we want us to look at that. Look at verse 8, verse 28. Okay, a virgin birth to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. In other words, her betrothed husband-to-be from the line of David. Okay, in other words, that's the line Christ is supposed to be birthed. And the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28. And the angel came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, and the Lord is with you. Very unusual greeting, probably scared and frightened her like daylight out of her. Can you even imagine that? Out of middle of nowhere, angel came to her, greetings, O favored one, and Lord is with you. What does that say? Something is missing. You will bear a son. And she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greetings this might be. One thing Mary did was, when angel came to her, she tried to discern what the word of the Lord is. If you are serious about Savior's birth in you, you must discern what is being taught in the scripture, what is being preached, and you should pay attention. Try to discern, okay? Oh, favored one, which means she was the one who was graced. For us to have a Christ, it is the greatest grace of God. Okay, greatest grace of God. And Lord is with you. And then angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And then the actual announcements. Can we look at this together? "Behold, you will conceive in the womb, and you shall call his name Jesus." In other words, you will have a baby boy, and his name is to be called Jesus, which means the Lord is salvation. And then the five statements. "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Okay, so the announcement was basically, you're going to have a baby boy. She was only 14. She never knew a man. She was a virgin. But the angel was announcing, you're going to have a baby boy. His name will be Jesus. And then the five announcements. First announcement was, he will be great. Uncontended, absolute greatness, which is an attribute of God himself. Okay, angel announced, the baby you're going to have is going to be Son of God. Okay, the second statement was, he will be called Son of the Most High. And that expression, Son of the Most High, is a distinctive Old Testament designation for the Lord God Almighty. In other words, the child you're going to bear is a son of God. Okay. The third statement, Lord God will give to him, Jesus, the throne of his father David. In other words, he's going to be the fulfillment of Davidic covenant. Entire Old Testament promise, and this is the Messiah. He's going to be the Christ. Okay. The fourth statement, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Do you remember? Messiah had to be a man, and he had to be divine. He's going to be birth. In other words, he's going to be a man, grow up to be a man, but he is God. Okay? Fifth and last statement, his kingdom, there will be no end. In other words, the long-awaited Messiah, and the Messiah that has been prophesied throughout the Old Testament, he will come into this world through you. Five statements. Can you picture that? Right? He's going to be great, and there is no contention, and his greatness is absolute. Absolute. Just like God. That's an attribute of God. Jesus is God, but he will be birthed as a man. He's God, man, Messiah. He's the only mediator that could bring sinners to holy God. Okay? Secondly, he will be the Son of the Most High, Son of God, or simply God, the Lord of all. Okay? And Gabriel announced that the coming of the baby, or the Messiah, Christ King, who will be the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, which is written in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 8 through 16, and you will be the mother of the coming Messiah. She's going to be the mother of the Messiah. Fourth statement, the throne of David, he's going to reign, and he's going to be the king forever. Brothers and sisters, this is the message that was delivered to that teenager. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the shock? Can you imagine, right, this illiterate, poor peasant family girl? She's not even married, just betrothed or engaged. Never knew a man, but the angel is speaking to her. You're going to have a baby boy, and that baby boy is a son of the Most High. He's the Messiah, and his kingdom will reign forever. That was the message. What would happen to her? I'll be shocked, right? But it's pretty amazing how Mary handles this. Can we look at how she handles? When it was said to her, told to her, Mary said to the angel, look at her brightness. Look at her collectiveness. She said, Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? I don't think it's a statement of doubt. I think she is really pondering. Try to discern. Try to be meditative. How is it possible? How is it possible since I'm a virgin? You know, as I was looking at this question, I was totally reminded of the story of Jesus meeting Nicodemus. Remember that? Nicodemus was the most educated, like someone who knew the scripture inside out, the most well-educated person of that time. And he came to Jesus and basically trying to learn how to be saved. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. Unless you're born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus, with the right heart, he asked this question. How is it possible I'm an old man? Do I go back to my mother's womb and be born again? Literally trying to know and learn what it means to be born again. Brothers and sisters, would you consider that tonight? How is it possible that Christ may be in you? Is he really the answer to the problem that you have, which is the problem of sin eventually? When you stand before the holiness of God, and you will, and you fear death, continue to fear death as you age, because something about death makes you fear. What is that? You know, people cannot put their finger on it, but Scripture speaks it very clearly. The fear has to do with judgment. Scripture makes it very clear. You know, intuitively, deep in your side, because you are created with that kind of eternity in your heart, after this life, there's going to be more, and you will be standing before the Almighty. And you're not ready. That's why you fear death. Mary was pondering, how will it be? How is this, all these great stories and messages that you are delivering to me will be fulfilled? I don't even know a man. I'm a virgin. How is it possible? Just like Nicodemus asking, how is it possible that I could be born again? I'm a grown-up man. I'm an old man. And then Jesus explains, right? What is born of the Spirit is Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. That's exactly how Gabriel will answer, okay? So look at verse 34. How will it be since I'm a virgin? And an angel answered her. Look at this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. This has never happened. God is opening up a new era. Mary is the first person really pictures the true born-again Christian. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And then the angel said, and then the power of the Most High, power of God, will overshadow you. I think that's a very pictorial statement, isn't it? Right? The power of the Most High will overshadow you. What does that mean? The word overshadow, let me find this. Okay. We see this word in once in Old Testament and once in the New Testament. The overshadow, when the temple was in the Old Testament completed, Solomon dedicated that temple to the Lord, and the glory of the Lord came upon and filled the temple, overshadowed the temple. That's the picture. In the New Testament, do you remember the story of Transfiguration? Jesus was ready to go to the cross, and one day he was having a meeting with Elijah and Moses, and the whole place was filled with the cloud and the glory of God, overshadowing. That's exactly the picture in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And how is it possible that a virgin could bear a child and it's going to be the Messiah, it's going to be the Holy Spirit coming upon you and the power of the Most High overshadowing you? Just like it filled the temple, just like it filled that mountain of Transfiguration, it's going to fill you. That's Christianity. Holy Spirit comes upon you. Okay? And the power of the Most High overshadow you and Christ in you. Okay? That's Christian message. That's the story of Christmas. Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy. That's what it means to be a Christian, isn't it? If you are in Christ, that's what it means to be holy, the Son of God. Sorry. Okay. Verse 36, and behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, and who was called barren. What is that story about? If you read Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, Luke is a historian. Literally, by historians of this day and age, they recognize Luke as a very careful historian. He investigated, researched everything, and put together something called Gospel of Luke. And he records the birth of Christ historically and most carefully. And if you read the annunciation of coming of Jesus, it was preceded by annunciation of coming of John the Baptist, which was another divine miracle. Because his father Zechariah and his mother Elizabeth both well advanced in age, probably beyond menopause. Okay, does that remind you of a story in the Old Testament? Yes, it does, right? Abraham and Sarah giving birth to Isaac, which is a totally miracle story. It happens again in the New Testament. And it precedes the story of coming of Jesus through the Virgin by these two old parents giving birth to John the Baptist, who will be the forerunner who's preparing the way for Jesus. And basically, angel is saying, let me give you a sign already, okay, to help her. Your relative Elizabeth is already pregnant. That's what he's telling her, okay? Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. And then I think angel or the word of the Lord kind of seals it. And then he goes, for nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. How can a dead person come alive? How can a virgin give a birth to the Messiah? How can you and I have Christ in me? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Okay? And then finally, Mary's final response. Okay? Do you remember? She tried to discern. You're listening to the message right now, and I hope you're trying to discern. Is really this message relevant to me? And as you listen to these, all these promises, He is great, and His kingdom will be eternal, and He will be the line of David. So in other words, He is the man and divine, and who is Messiah, who is the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Old Testament. So what has that got to do with me? Are you pondering that? Is He the answer that my soul is seeking after? I live this life meaninglessly. So many people do. I talk meaningless talk all the time. And I know it. When I come home, I don't feel good. I get drunk. I get hangover. Just to wake up next morning feeling like, man, this is so empty. Is He the answer? Is this message of Christmas and Christianity and the Christmas gospel the answer? Are you pondering? Mary did. And asked the right question. How will it be since I'm a virgin? How is it possible that I am born again? How is it possible that Christ may be birthed in me? That I could have literally Christ in me? Is that possible? Is there an answer to the search of my soul? Mary considered. Mary pondered. Mary really took her time to consider these things. And my brothers and sisters, tonight, those of you who are in Christ already, I want you to ponder this. This is the miracle that happened to you. What happened to Mary happened to you and to me. You know, I was really considering this week. I was just like rejoicing, really rejoicing. This week, I was just rejoicing. Man, she is the prototype of every born-again Christian ever since Messiah came. Holy Spirit came upon him. Upon her, excuse me. Holy Spirit, and it is the power of the Most High overpowered and overshadowed her, and she became holy because the Son of God lives in her. That's exactly what it means to become a Christian, isn't it? Think about it. Is He the answer? Do I know Him? Is He the Lord of my life? Is He the King of my life? Is He the King of your life? If not, I pray that you would repent today. That's what Christmas worship service is about. It's not the ritual. It's not the rite. It's not like, you know, liturgical stuff. Are you worshiping Him? Is He the King, Messiah, Christ of your life? Mary's final response, verse 38. Amazing response. Look at the response. Mary is really favored by God. Okay, I don't believe she is the Holy One the way the Catholic Church is teaching. I don't believe that. But she is favored by God. She's the first one literally had Christ in me. Isn't that amazing? Christ in me. Look at her response. Mary said, "Nothing is impossible with God. Behold, I am your servant." She totally surrenders and submits. I am your servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Pretty amazing, isn't it? 14-year-old, 12-year-old. Many people think, you know, teenagers supposed to struggle. And the hormone should be ahead of our way of thinking. No, it's not. I don't believe that. She was 12 to 14 years old. Totally submitted. Totally surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I am your servant. Okay? Let it be to me according to the word that has been spoken to me. Would you do that? Would you be willing to do that? My brothers and sisters, Christ came to save sinners like you and I. And only way that you have it, you will have true salvation and true assurance is when you truly surrender all to Christ and let Him be the Lord of your life. He's the King of Kings. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of the Most High. His kingdom will reign forever. And He's eternal. And He became a man so that He will take your place of judgment on the cross. Does that message apply to you? Today, mothers and fathers, friends, sons and daughters, I ask you to surrender, fully surrender to the Lord. Worship Him like Mary did. Isn't that amazing? I'm your servant, right? Servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. May the Spirit of the Lord will minister to you. How can a virgin give a birth? It's the Holy Spirit coming upon you. How can a virgin give a birth to the Messiah? It is the power of the Most High overpowering, overshadowing you. Can you picture that? That's true Christianity. And you become holy in the sight of God, set apart for the purpose of God. And literally, Christ in me. That's the message of Christmas. Let's bow before the Lord.